Thanks. Three men on a mountain, upon Calvary, and the man in the middle was Jesus. He died for you and me. Now the man on the right was a sinner. Tied to the cross, he bled. Could have been forgiven, but he mocked the Lord instead. You say you are the Son of God. They nailed you to a tree. Come down and save yourself, if God the Father be. Three men on a mountain, up on Calvary, and the man in the middle was Jesus. He died for you and me. Now the man on the left was a sinner. Sorry for his sins, begged the Lord's forgiveness. And Jesus said to him, fear not this earthly death. Before this day is o'er, you'll be with me in paradise, on heaven's golden shore. Three men on a mountain, upon Calvary, and the man in the middle was Jesus. He died for you and me. He died for you and me.
Appreciate that. Good song. Want to encourage Giggs to just keep singing. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 3. And I want to begin reading with verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 3. And I ask great interest in your prayers today. And again, pray for those who are not saved. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And that's reading those 12 verses, first 12 verses of 2 Peter chapter 3 for a scripture reading. And I want to use a title today and to share this thought with you. It's not over until it's over. I want to address today primarily those of you that may be among us this morning that have never experienced God's saving grace. And just make a comment about what Brother Jackson shared with us this morning. That was a statement that was made in the newspaper. Contrary to what that person said or what anybody said, salvation is a personal, individual experience with God. God deals with us one-on-one. God doesn't save in an aggregate form. Now, there are times when He will save many at one time. We read in the Bible on the day of Pentecost, of 3,000 being saved there in one day, but I guarantee you that God dealt with each of them individually, and they each had their own individual experience of grace. And if you're here today and you're lost, that's what you need. You need to go one-on-one with the Great One. You need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need to be saved by His grace. There's a verse in this, and in these scriptures here, the Apostle Peter is writing about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking about that time when He's going to come back. He's going to come back in all of His glory, not to come to the earth again to make a sacrifice for sin, but to come back to receive His elect unto Himself, and to bring final destruction upon the world. That's what the Apostle Peter was writing about in this. He wanted to stir up the minds of the people of God by this. And certainly today we ought to be stirred up by that fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. We don't know when He's going to come, but there are people all around us that are not ready for His coming. But for you today that are here that are lost, there's a verse in here that I want to bring to your attention today that ought to be of particular interest to you and ought to, I hope today that you can see the great benefit in this. And that's what the Apostle Peter wrote in, and as we have recorded in the ninth verse concerning the coming of Christ. He said that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Now that promise, that particular promise that he was talking about here, is the promise of His coming. The Lord's not slack when it comes to the promise of His coming. We have been promised that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And the Lord is not going to be slack concerning that promise. And so you can rest assured today that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again. But he went on in that verse. He said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. And here's what I want to bring to your attention today. If you're here this morning and you're undone, you're lost without God, is that Peter went on and said, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so I want you to know this today, that if you are without God, if you're still lost and in your sins, that it is not the will of God for you to continue in that state. It's not the will of God for you to die in that condition. God is not willing that any should perish. Listen, everybody that has passed through this world and has gone out into eternity, lost and separated from God, they have done so against the will of the God of heaven. It is not the will of God for anybody to perish and lose their soul. And so the Lord is not slack concerning the promise of his coming, concerning that time that we have read about that's written here in the third chapter of 2 Peter, about the time that he's going to come and that he's going to bring destruction upon this world to the point that even the elements themselves will melt with fervent heat. God's not slack concerning the promise of all that, but he is long-suffering. And the Apostle Peter spoke about this also when he wrote about the way that it was in the days of Noah. He spoke about the long-suffering of God. He said, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing or being prepared, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. So God there for a time was long-suffering in the days of Noah, giving that space there of 120 years where the ark was being built and people were being warned to flee the destruction of the flood that God had promised was going to come upon them. So God is long-suffering. The Bible says and tells us that this is the day that the Lord has made. And, you know, long ago when the psalmist David spoke that, that day that he was speaking of, when he said, this is the day that the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. This day that we have today, the same holds true for it. Today is the day that the Lord has made. If God had not made this day, we would not be here. If God had not made a day, then there wouldn't be time anymore. And one of these days, God is going to make that last day. Now, we don't know when that's going to be, but one day God is going to cease to continue time. He's going to bring time to an end. But today, God has made this day. And for you that are lost, I want you to understand today that the fact that God has made this day is proof to us that God is extending his mercy. God is long-suffering. He doesn't want anybody to perish. He doesn't want anybody to lose their soul in eternity. And so God has extended his mercy here today. Mercy. Friends, listen, I want you to know that if you are lost and without God, that God is willing to have mercy upon your soul. But if you don't find salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to find it anywhere. You're not going to find it at all. It does not exist any other place or in anyone else. And so the Lord is indeed coming. His coming is imminent. His coming is imminent. It will take place. It will take place in God's own time. I'm convinced that we are living in the world today, and each day that we awake to, when we awake to the dawning of a new day. And I hope that you that are lost will realize that this morning, that the fact that you awoke today to a new day ought to testify to you that God is willing to still extend his mercy to you, that you may come to know him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. I want you to understand something today, that being lost, being separated from God, is a horrible condition to be in. Now the devil will certainly try to deceive your mind. He will certainly try to lead your thoughts astray in another direction from that. But I want you to know that if you are lost and undone before God, that you are presently living in the worst situation that you could ever possibly be in. You know, people today, oftentimes we, our sympathies go in directions where it leads us away from what's really sad. We may look at somebody that's destitute, you know, that's suffering in the flesh. I know that we have poor people all over the world, and they have need. And we may look at those that are poor, those that are homeless, and we may think of that as being, you know, the worst condition that anybody could be in. But friends, listen, if you are lost and separated from God, if you are not His child, if you are walking around in the midst of this uncertain and dangerous world and you are separated from God, that is the worst condition that anybody has ever known. Is that not proven to us in the Scriptures? Did the Lord Jesus Christ not prove to us in what He had to say that we find recorded in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke? Did not Jesus, in those words when He spoke about Lazarus and that rich man, did He not prove to us in that a person that is so poor, that they're begging crumbs that fall from a rich man's table, did He not prove to us in that Lazarus was still far better off than what the rich man was that fared sumptuously every day? Sure He did. Sure He did. Our lives here are quick. The older I get, some of the Scriptures, the more real they become to me. I understand now a lot better than I did 20 years ago about what James said when he spoke about life being a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And the longer that we live and the older that we get, the more we realize the validity and the truth of that Scripture. And lost friend, listen, you're not going to be here very long. You've got just a short window of time. You've got just a very limited opportunity to make things right with God. And if you don't take advantage of that, you're going to leave this world lost and in your sins and split hell wide open for all of eternity. You're going to suffer the torments of that place with no escape forever and forever if you don't take advantage of what God is giving you now to seek Him, to be saved, to come to know Him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. The Lord's coming. He's coming. Death is coming. Death is sure. It's certain. It's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. One way or another, friends, whether we are those that die and go the way of the grave before His coming, or whether we are those that are alive and remaining at His coming, one way or another, friend, we're all going to step out of time one of these days. We're going to leave this realm of time and we're going to step into eternity. Every one of us that's here today and everyone that's in this world today, we are an eternal bound being. We are just going to pass through our short stay here in time, and then we're going to go live in a much different realm. We're going to go live in an eternal realm. And whatever condition that your soul is in when you make that transition from time into eternity is the condition that it's going to stay in. It's going to stay that way forever and forever. I'm very concerned today about those of you who are lost. I think it's already been mentioned this morning how quickly a person can be gone. I heard a good sermon on the old-fashioned gospel hour this morning. Brother Hunton preaching about that very fact, about how quickly that a person's life can be gone. I hope you realize today that if you're lost and separated from God, I hope you realize today that there's just a single breath. There's just that very brittle thread of life that you hang on to that suspends you above a place of eternal fire and damnation. That's all. That's how frail that we really are as human beings. Listen, you may think you're tough. You may think you got life by the tail. You may think you really got a hold of this thing called life. You may think you're going to live for years and years. You know what? The devil would love for you to believe those things. He would love to distract your mind and take it many years ahead to the time that you think you're going to live to. But I'm telling you today, friends, how frail that we are, that there is nothing that separates any of us from eternity but just that one breath. That's it. That's it. It can be gone in a second. It can be gone. God has been merciful to you today in that He has allowed this day. It's not over yet. You know, that time is coming. That time is coming when what Jeremiah the prophet spoke about that we find recorded in Jeremiah chapter 8 verse 20, where he said the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. That time is surely coming, friends. It's coming for those that fail to repent. It's coming for those that fail to trust in God and to seek Him and be saved. That time is coming. When that will be fulfilled, that the harvest will be past, the summer will be ended, and you'll find that you're not saved, but it hasn't come yet. And thank God for you that are lost that it hasn't come yet, because you still today have the opportunity and the blessing today to seek God. He's still extending His mercy to this world. I believe in the days of the flood, when God gave them 120 years, I believe that God offered His mercy to those people all the time that that ark was being built. I believe that God will offer His mercy to people up until the time that He says time will be no more, and He'll bring it to an end. God will offer His mercy and His grace until that time. But I'll tell you what, when God shut that door on the ark and sealed Noah and his family, those that were ready to go into that ark, when God shut that door, He didn't open it again. He didn't open it again. When God closes it, it's going to be closed. But it hasn't been yet. It's not over until it's over. God is still with arms outstretched and with love that a human being can't even fully comprehend, saying, come, come. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. God is still inviting people to come to Him, to seek Him. I've still got mercy. I've still got grace. I wanted to share with you just a few things that the Bible says about God's mercy. Psalm 86:5 says He's plenteous in mercy. Plenteous. God's got plenty of mercy. You know how much mercy He's got? God's not got enough mercy for everybody that'll come to Him. Everybody. He's got enough mercy for the whole world. If the whole world will come to Him and repent of their sins, God's got enough mercy. He's got plenty of it. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4, the Bible says that God is rich in mercy. He's rich. You know, when you think about somebody being rich in terms of money, you think of somebody that's got a lot of money. Well, the Bible says that God is rich in mercy. In 1 Peter chapter 1, the apostle wrote about God's abundant mercy. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Friends, God has extended his mercy and his grace toward you today in giving you another opportunity to seek him and to be saved by his grace. Will you come to him? Will you come to the Lord today and take advantage of what he's offered you? I want you to know today it's not out of obligation. God doesn't owe you a thing. Doesn't owe you a thing. God is offering his mercy and his grace to those who are lost because it's not his will for any to perish. I don't care what you've done in your life, what you've been guilty of in your life. Oh my goodness, the limits of God's mercy has just, well, we can't measure it. Brother Bryson and I were talking on the phone a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about that. He said, Brother Miller, isn't it amazing that God is so merciful that people that have lived for many years and just done hideous things in their life, and God's willing to save them and forgive them of their sins and give them a home in heaven. God's mercy, God's grace is not, he's not obligated to us in any way. He's not obligated to you. I'll tell you what, if you think today that you're deserving of it, you're way off base. None of us are deserving of salvation, but God offers it to, as Brother Wheat pointed out again in Sunday school, to whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. While we stand and sing, will you come to God and will you seek him today and take advantage of the mercy and the grace that he offers to you before it's too late? Let's stand and sing.